This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. I pray you will be blessed by our program today. My name is Warren, and today I'm joined by Rex and Rob. Here at Amazing Grace, we would like to hear from you. If you have a question for us or would like to make a comment on something that we've said, please don't hesitate to contact us. Now, we have two free giveaways. We have a DVD that shows how the world will end according to the Bible, not according to Hollywood, but according to the Bible. It's about 40 minutes long, and I would highly recommend it. At this stage, we've got about two left, so if you'd like one, let us know. We'll be happy to post that out to you. We also have a free book that we're giving away called Steps to Jesus, a wonderful little book about how to have a closer walk with Jesus. Now, we'd be happy to pray with you either on air or off air, and if you call us or text us or email us, we'd be happy to do that. Now, I'll just give you our addresses and contact details. Email address is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. So that's 999amazinggrace, and Amazing Grace is only 1G, at gmail.com. Or you could call us or text us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. Okay, friends, let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to share with the people of the Manawatu, the Horowhenua, the Kapiti Coast, and in the Philippines. And pray, Lord, that you would bless each person that is listening and their families. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak through us. May the words that we share today be your words. And so we ask for your presence and your blessing, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, listeners, our devotion today is brought to us by our good friend Rob. Good afternoon, Rob.
Afternoon, Warren. And the devotion today, the heading is His Word for Information. The Bible is a textbook on how to know God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, God shows us both history and future in the book called the Bible, the history of man. God said, "Let us make man in our image," Genesis 1:26. And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being, Genesis 2:7. God said it is not good for man to be alone, so he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. Then he took one of his ribs and formed Eve, Genesis 2:21 and 22. Adam was then crowned king of Eden, and God gave man everything that he had created. This was Adam's domain. Then God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have domain over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 1:28. Eve one day was lingering by the tree of knowledge of good and evil and entered into conversation with the serpent, who was more cunning than the beast of the field. Sadly, Eve took the forbidden fruit and ate, then she gave it to Adam. The domain that the Lord had given Adam was lost, and Jesus, in his own words to his disciples, said, "I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world has come, and he has nothing in me." John 14:30. The ruler of this world, here are his names: serpent, dragon, devil, Satan. Revelation 12:7-10. Never again would Adam walk in the Garden of Eden. Access to the Tree of Life was taken away. God placed at the east of the garden a cherubim with a flaming sword which turned every way. Genesis 3:24. By eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this disobedience put a yoke around every man and woman that was born into the world. Adam would die and return to the dust that he came from. In the sweat of your face, of your brow, you shall eat bread. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Genesis 3:19. There was hope for Adam and Eve, and for man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come and die for the sins of man. John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. God's only begotten Son would come to this world and teach his disciples and followers that God loved man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John the Baptist came preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3:2. After the temptations in the wilderness from the devil, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. Same words John the Baptist used. This is the gospel of Jesus. Repent. When a man is hungry, his stomach says, "I need food." When a man is thirsty, he looks for water. Our body needs food and water to live, not forgetting the air that we breathe. But what about food for the soul? The only food that can feed the soul comes down from heaven. This food cannot be brought, it's free. He who has an ear, let him hear what he says, what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat the tree of life, which in the midst of paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. Jesus and his disciples travelled from Judah to Samaria near a plot of ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This is where Jacob's well was, and Christ rested there. The disciples went to buy food. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat by the well. Was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asks a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock?" Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come to draw." What Jesus was saying to the woman, it's a free gift. It's the same for us today. Come to Jesus and get the free gift. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." John 6:35. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. The Holy Spirit that comes to us gives us the spiritual food. "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it receives, neither it sees him nor knows him, but know him, for he dwells within you and be in you." Jesus is the Lamb who paid the penalty for sin. Death is an enemy of man. It is Satan's plan to put God's people in the grave and hold them there for eternity. When the devil tried to stop Moses from being raised from the grave, Michael the archangel said to the devil, "The Lord rebuke you." Jude 9. Jesus did not enter into a long conversation with Satan. These words give us hope and faith in Christ that there are better things to come. All who die are asleep in their graves waiting for the return of Jesus. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Revelation 20:13. Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." John 11:43. This is the enemy that will be destroyed. Death is the enemy that will be destroyed in 1 Corinthians 15:26. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. The people who continue to study God's perfect teachings that makes people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's teaching says. And I'll just end with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, the Bible is the textbook of life. Father, and I pray, Lord, that many people will come to understand the scriptures that you have written down, and because it's all prophesied and it's your word. Guide and direct us, Lord, forever until Jesus comes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. This world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. 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 Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before. Thank you. place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer,
you're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. It's come time for the health tip of the week. Good afternoon, Rex.
Good afternoon, Warren, and good afternoon, listeners. Well, today I'm going to talk about the omega-3. You've heard, no doubt, spoken EFA, essential fatty acids. Omega-3 is one of those. Omega-6 is another one. Omega-3 particularly. And one problem that I treat in my office, this is Dr. Nedley speaking, on a daily basis is a disease called ulcerative colitis. Ulcerative colitis is an autoimmune disease wherein the body attacks the colon, causing cancer, ulcers, inflammation, fever, bleeding, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. It tends to lapse frequently, but it will subside for a while and then flare up again. A four-month-long study including 23 patients with chronic ulcerative colitis, about one half of the patient were given the 3 grams daily of EPA and omega-3 fatty acid. The other group received look-alike pills but had no medicinal effects, a placebo. After 4 months, the two groups were switched to the opposite treatment. And there were 13 people in the EPA and 10 in the placebo, and 10 improved of the 13, 3 on the placebo, no unchanged, there were 2 in each, and worsened, 1, and on the placebo was 5. So, you see, there are advantages. Anyway, notice that only 3 out of 10 people who took the placebo had remission, and all 3 later relapsed. The story was remarkably different for those taking omega-3. 10 out of 13 experienced a remission of their disease, even though slightly more than 50% of those with a remission later relapsed, some remained disease-free. Unfortunately, cow's milk and many infant formulas lack certain omega-3 fats that are necessary for optimal brain and eye development. Human breast milk, however, has abundant omega-3 fats, and maybe one of the reasons why infants raised on human milk do better on IQ tests than their formula drinking counterparts. And omega-3 fatty acid deficiency can also cause depression or even over-aggressiveness in adults. With all the wealth of information demonstrating the benefits of omega-3, it might seem that we should be at least put a little fish on our dinner plates. But before final recommendations are issued regarding our personal eating habits, we need to explore more fully the downside of the fish consumption. Now, you may have noticed a recent date that fish are suffering a great deal from the fact that they're actually eating plastics, and lots of them. In fact, one large fish, I think it was a whale, they found 30 kilograms of plastic in their tummy. Now, problem with fish oil and with fish, it can worsen blood sugar levels in diabetics. Large amounts can dangerously prolong the blood clotting time. Fish oil is expensive, and large amounts cause vitamin overloading or vitamin deficiency, can lead to an increase in body weight. Seafood is a large reservoir for infectious diseases. Toxins acquired from contaminated waters concentrate in the fatty tissue of the fish. Fish oil can raise blood sugar in adult onset diabetics. A University of California study found that so-called type 2 diabetics experienced a nearly 20% rise in their fasting blood sugar level after taking fish oil for a mere 4 weeks. A diet high in fish oil can be dangerously increase the blood clotting time. Eskimos, although they have less heart disease, these Eskimos up in Greenland, they have more hemorrhagic or bleeding strokes from America than the Americans do. Apparently, their fish-rich diet causes such an impairment of platelet function that they bleed more easily. Large amounts of fish oil used as a supplement may upset your vitamin balance. Dr. Jack Yetiv has pointed out that high doses of fish oil may cause very high levels of vitamins A and D, so high that they could be toxic. Both of these vitamins are fat-soluble nutrients that are necessary for life and health in appropriate amounts. However, either can cause poisoning and, in some cases, death if levels build up too high in the blood. On the other hand, a diet rich in fish oil can cause vitamin E deficiency. The large amounts of fish oil that has been used in many studies can lead to a significant increase in body weight. These preparations are extremely high in fat calories. Yetiv estimated a person could gain up to 24 pounds in a year if he took as much fish oil each day as some studies were using. So there we have it. Again, fish is, people say, oh, I'm nearly a vegetarian, I eat only fish or chook or fowl. But look at the whole context. The fish are a problem. They cause people to have, well, low clotting ability, which can cause bleeding. So let's think in terms again of the value of a vegetarian diet. You don't have the problem generated by that. So again, think of what you do and of what you eat, and you'll be better off.
Thank you very much, Rex.
Until then. when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
And welcome back to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, just before we start the second half of our program, we want to remind you just quickly of the website, which you can go to. The website is www.manawatupeoplesradio.nz. If you put in /show/Amazing Grace, it will take you straight to the place where you can listen to any of our last presentations for the last 6 months. Or you can just put in www.mpr.nz. And you just need to go to, when you go in, you need to click Listen on Demand, and it will take you through. And Amazing Grace is about the second or third in alphabetical order. All right, about to start the second half of our program. And this piece is entitled Truth is a Person. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. So they ceased, and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Luke 8:24-25. Truth is a person, not a concept. Jesus said, "He was the truth." John 14:6. That means that you can never know the truth of your circumstances unless you have first heard from Jesus. The disciples thought that they were perishing in the storm. They were fishermen who knew the sea and knew what their condition was. They had allowed their circumstances to convince them that the truth was their imminent death. But they were wrong. Truth was asleep in the back of their boat. Since some of the disciples were fishermen, they trusted in their own expertise and wisdom rather than recognizing that only Jesus knew the truth of their situation. At times, our human knowledge in certain areas of life can blind us to our desperate need to hear a word from the truth. When Jesus spoke, the disciples saw the real truth of their situation. There was absolute calm. The disciples had seen Jesus perform other miracles, but they had not witnessed his power over nature in such a dimension. Often, we are like the disciples. God may have recently demonstrated his power to us in a mighty way. We may have experienced many spiritual victories in the past. Yet, when a new frightening situation comes upon us, we too panic and say, "Lord, save me, I'm perishing." God will remind us of his provision, saying, "I can handle this situation too, and you will know more of me because of it." Have you become fearful instead of faithful? If you have, prepare for the rebuke, for it will come. Yes, it's a wonderful thought that that truth is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that's important to do is for us to write down the times that God has answered our prayers, that God has done mighty miracles. Because, you see, we forget. We forget. And how do I know that? Because I forget. I've forgotten some of the mighty miracles that God has done in my life. And just to tell you the short version, when I was 11 years old, I had an accident on a push bike, and I lost my sight. Now, I was very scared, and at that particular time, I prayed because I didn't want to be blind for the rest of my life, and I promised the Lord that I would serve him for my life if he would give my sight back to me. Well, you know what? The Lord kept his end of the bargain. He gave me my sight back. Did I keep my end of the bargain? No, I forgot. I forgot about that promise. After the days and the weeks and the months and the years went by, I forgot about that promise. The Lord reminded me of that story in my life, a story I should never have forgotten, but I did. How many of us have stories where God has done mighty miracles in our life and we forget? And we need to write those down so we never forget. And it helps to build our faith that we know that the Lord Jesus will give us victory if we will but trust in him today.
Is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded. Just come, come, believing everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Behind the mask you're hiding, here is someone to confide in. I know what you've done. Come and tell me everything you're hoping. The Father loves a heart that's open. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save yourself? I know who you are, don't try to be somebody else. Come, believe in everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save yourself? know you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Come when your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded. Won't you come? Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. It's
a beautiful song by Buddy Halton, and it's entitled Come. And it's really a song of Jesus singing to us. No matter what you've done in the past, come. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, and Jesus said that when he walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. And he says it again to you, friend. No matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've been with, he just says to you, friend, come, come to me, and I will love you. I will forgive you. I will show you grace and mercy that you have never experienced in your life before. How can I be so sure of that? Because I've experienced God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. And when you've experienced it, friend, you know and believe and trust in God, because we don't deserve it. Many of us have done many things in our past. But if we come to him just as we are, he will clean us up. He will change us. He will help you. I promise you, friend. We're going to read from the book, The Desire of Ages. And we're reading from the chapter entitled At the Feast of Tabernacles. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The condition of the people made this appeal very forcible. They had been engaged in a continued sense of pomp and festivity. Their eyes had been dazzled with light and colour, and their ears regaled with the richest music. But they had been nothing at all this round of ceremonies to meet the wants of the spirit, nothing to satisfy the thirst of the soul for that which perishes not. Jesus invited them to come and drink of the fountain of life, of that which would be in them a well of water, springing up in everlasting life. The priest had that morning performed the ceremony which commemorated the smiting of the rock in the wilderness. The rock was a symbol of him who by his death would cause living streams of salvation to flow to all who are athirst. Christ's words were the water of life. Therein, the presence of the assembled multitude, he set himself apart to be smitten, that the water of life might flow to the world. In smiting Christ, Satan thought to destroy the Prince of Life, but from that smitten rock there flowed living water. As Jesus thus spoke to the people, their hearts thrilled with a strange awe, and many were ready to exclaim with the woman of Samaria, "Give me this water that I might thirst not." Jesus knew the wants of the soul. Pomp, riches, and honour cannot satisfy the heart. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me. The rich, the poor, the high, the low are all alike are welcome. He promises to relieve the burdened mind, to comfort the sorrowing, and to give hope to the despondent. Many of those who heard Jesus were mourners over disappointed hopes. Many were nourishing a secret grief. Many were seeking to satisfy their restless longings with the things of the world and the praise of men. But when all was gained, they found that they had toiled only to reach a broken system, from which they could not quench their thirst. Amid the glitter of the joyous scene, they stood, dissatisfied and sad. That sudden cry, "If any man thirst," startled them from their sorrowful meditation, and they listened to the words that followed. Their minds kindled with a new hope. The Holy Spirit presented the symbol before them until they saw it, the offer of the priceless gift of salvation. The cry of Christ to the thirsty soul is still going forth, and it appeals to us with even greater power than to those who heard it in the temple on that last day of the feast. The fountain is open for all. The weary and exhausted ones are offered the refreshing draught of eternal life. Jesus is still crying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Revelation 22:17 and John 4:14. And that is the end of that particular chapter, which was entitled "The Feast at the Feast of Tabernacles." Okay, now we're looking to chapter 50, "Among the Snares." All the while Jesus was at Jerusalem during the feast, he was shadowed by spies. Day after day, new schemes to silence him were tried. The priests and rulers were watching to entrap him. They were planning to stop him by violence. But this was not all. They wanted to humble this Galilean rabbi before the people. On the first day of his presence at the feast, the rulers had come to him, demanding by what authority he taught. They wished to divert the attention from him to the question of his right to teach, and thus to their own importance and authority. "My teaching is not mine," said Jesus, "but his that sent me. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John 7:16 and 17. The question of these cavillers Jesus met not by answering the cavil, but by opening up truth vital to the salvation of the soul. The perception and appreciation of truth, he said, depends upon the mind than upon the heart. Truth must be received into the soul. It claims the homage of the will. If truth could be submitted to the reason alone, pride would be of no hindrance in the way of its reception. But it is to be received through the work of grace in the heart, and its reception depends upon the renunciation of every sin that the Spirit of God reveals. Man's advantages for obtaining a knowledge of the truth, however great these may be, will prove of no benefit to him unless the heart is open to receive the truth, and there is a conscientious surrender of every habit and practice that is opposed to its principles. To those who thus yield themselves to God, having an honest desire to know and to do his will, the truth is revealed as the power of God for their salvation. These will be able to distinguish between him who speaks for God and him who speaks merely for himself. The Pharisees had not put on their will of the side of the God's will. They were seeking to know the truth, but to find some excuse for evading it. Christ showed that this was why they did not understand his teaching. He now gave a test by which the true teacher might be distinguished from the deceiver. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. John 7:18. He that seeketh his own glory is seeking only for himself. The spirit of self-seeking betrays its origin. But Christ was seeking the glory of God. He spoke the words of God. This was the evidence of his authority as a teacher of the truth. Jesus gave the rabbis an evidence of his divinity by showing that he read their minds and hearts. Ever since the healing at Bethesda, they had been plotting his death. Thus, they were themselves breaking the law which they professed to be defending. Did not Moses give you the law? He said, and yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Like a swift flash of light, these words revealed to the rabbis the pit of ruin into which they were about to plunge. For an instant, they were filled with terror. They saw that they were in conflict with the infinite power, but they would not be warned. In order to maintain their influence with the people, their murderous designs must be concealed. Evading the question of Jesus, they exclaimed, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? They insinuated that the wonderful works of Jesus were instigated by an evil spirit. To this insinuation, Christ gave no heed. He went on to show that his working of healing at Bethesda was in harmony with the Sabbath law, and that it was justified by the interpretation which the Jews themselves had put on the law. He said, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. According to the law, every child must be circumcised on the eighth day. Should that appointed time fall on the Sabbath, the rite must be performed. How much more must it be in harmony with the spirit of the law to make every man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And he warned them to judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The rulers were silenced, and many of the people exclaimed, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Many among Christ's hearers, who were dwellers at Jerusalem, and who were not ignorant of the plots of the rulers against him, felt themselves drawn to him by an irresistible power. The conviction pressed upon them that he was the Son of God, but Satan was ready to suggest doubt, and for this the way was prepared for their own erroneous ideas of the Messiah and his coming. It was generally believed that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, but that after a time he would disappear, and at a second appearance none would know whence he came. There were not a few who held that the Messiah would have no natural relationship to humanity, and because the popular conception of the glory of the Messiah was not met by Jesus of Nazareth, many gave heed to the suggestion, Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when the Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. While they were thus wavering between doubt and faith, Jesus took up their thoughts and answered them, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come to myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. They claimed a knowledge of what the real origin of Christ should be, but they were in utter ignorance of it. If they had lived in accordance with the will of God, they would have known his Son when he was manifested to them. And that really applies to us today, friends, as we finish this particular reading from The Desire of Ages today. We too will know when someone speaks. And you know, I have people that speak to me when God speaks through them many times, and they're not even Christians sometimes. People, you know, we know the story of Balaam, a donkey God spoke through. God speaks through all sorts of people, but when I hear God's voice in it, I know that no matter who it is, Christian, non-Christian, believer, non-believer, spiritual person, carnal person, I know that that voice is from God and he is speaking to me. And that's what it's saying in the book, that we shall know when God speaks to us if we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. For spiritual things are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. All right, friends, as we come to the end of our time together today, we just want to quickly remind you of a couple of things. We want to remind you of the DVD that shows how the world will end according to the Bible. And that's a 40-minute DVD, very powerful, and I highly recommend it to you. Also, we have the book Steps to Jesus, a wonderful little book, and we'd be happy to give that away. And if you contact us, we'd be happy to post that to you. Now, we'd also be happy to pray for you, either on air or off air. And if you contact us, we'd be happy to do that. Now, you can contact us in a couple of ways. The first way is by email, and the email address is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. That's 999amazinggrace, and Amazing Grace is only one G, @gmail.com. Or you could text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, let's finish our program today with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to hear more about you. Father, we thank you for the health tip of the week. We thank you that you care not only about the spiritual man, but you care about our body. And we know that in Corinthians it says that we should be careful what we put in our body, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be wise about what we put in our body, not only as far as food, but spiritually, what we put in our body, what we watch, what we hear, what we taste. Lord, may everything be done to bring glory to your name. I pray for our listeners and their families, wherever they are in the world today, and we just thank you for this opportunity, for we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So from all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.